everybody, and welcome to the EC Method. I am one of your coaches, Chloe Madeley.
And I am your other coach, Emma Story Gordon. Our goal at the EC Method is to encourage, educate, and empower you to get the results that you've always wanted.
Listen to our weekly podcasts, go to our website, theecmethod.co.uk, or simply follow us on Instagram to get more information. Very sexy. I love the high neck on a girl.
Oh yeah.
Do you feel like it's sexy sea lion? I do, seriously, I love it.
Right, let me go on.
Yay! I love that you're like literally slogging your tits off to get this fucking clothing line sorted. Oh, there we are.
Sea lion. I do, seriously, I love it.
Yeah, we're not.
Fine.
Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to the second live of the week. A bit earlier today because I'm having one of those days.
Do you have anything exciting on, or is it just...
It is a lot of meetings, a lot of podcast recordings, and then I've got a big shoot tomorrow for Grenade, which is hilarious because I'm not in shape at all, so God knows how that's going to go.
Are you going to have to be naked?
No, I said to them, I was like, I'm not doing. I got really lean at the end of the summer, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. And that's obviously then when people are like, can we do a shoot with you? So I was like, no, look, you can do a shoot with me, but I have to be fully clothed because I'm really enjoying my training at the moment. I'm getting really strong. And I'm not interested in going into a fat loss phase right now.
That would be fun.
How's your training going, Emma? Catch us all up on what you're doing.
Oh, it's very exciting. No, it's not at all. It's still, like, predominantly just machine-based things. And
your back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not happy with a lot of things, but so much better than it was. And I think more just, like, day-to-day. Like, I'm sitting down, and I'm still buzzing about the fact I can sit down. So long may that continue. I'm sure at some point I'll just start getting really annoying about how, or annoyed that I can't squat or do exciting stuff in the gym. But at the moment, I'm just buzzing to be there.
You don't need to, though. Just do straight up bodybuilder training.
I know, but I find it just really dull. Like, I'll still go in and I do, like, 4 sets of 10 on each machine, because that's kind of like, you know, the best thing to do at the moment, but it's quite boring.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Maybe there's something in like an endurance goal for you.
Yeah, I could see myself like starting to run or something. I don't float. Did you say swimming? Like, I genuinely just sink. I'm really bad at swimming.
James can't swim either. He's like really strong on his upper body, and then his lower body anchors him down. And then he's like, I'm like literally like powering ahead of him. Like, how is this taking you so long? And then every time we go on holiday, we go on swims, I'll like get to where we're going and I'll look up and I'll look down at him and I can see there's like no leg. It's like this when he swims.
I only really watched a little bit of I'm a Celebrity, but wasn't the first bit like they had to swim? Was he good at that? Yeah. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I mean, he's competitive, so if you shove him in the water with a load of celebrities, he's going to be like, I will win!
Yeah,
but he's the worst swimmer. He's just taken up golf, though, which apparently he's a natural at.
Huh.
Mm. Huh.
Have you tried anyway. Golf?
Yeah, I want to, but I'm scared about my boobs, you know, getting hit, getting hurt. I don't know what it is. Aren't there loads of really fit female golfers in the world?
Yeah,
isn't that like a thing?
Like one summer, me and my friend started because, like, female golfers are hot. Also, the little outfits, it's like tennis. Little tennis dresses that they do golf in. I'm like, yes. Then I realised it's actually really hard.
Really hard. I think I'm bad at it, if like mini golf is anything to go by, But I mean, I think maybe I need to join in with James just in case he has an affair with a hot golf lady. I feel like they're like a few. I like there's on Instagram, I always see these like hot golf girls and I'm like, this is like a thing.
Yeah. Also, golfers earn so much money.
Yeah, I mean, let's calm down. I mean, I don't think James or I or are ever going to be like, oh, hang on a minute, I'm as good as Tiger Woods. Oh, Tiger Woods, what a shit show that was. All right.
Okay, on with the questions. Okay, how often would you expect...
Wait. Tell everybody about your dream last night.
No. Okay. No, I had a dream about someone, but we were just talking before we came on, like, if you're with someone in your dream, you end up really fancying them, and it's not someone I want to fancy. And then equally, like, if someone is bad to you in your dream, you wake up and, like, genuinely annoyed at them. And I can't shake it. Like, you can't shake that.
It'll pass in, like, 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks?
Well, that's normally how long it takes me. I really fancy someone for like 2 weeks and then I just don't care anymore. With James, I'll be angry for like, if he dream cheats on me, I'll be angry with him for like 2 days and then I get over it. He is like, you're a psycho. I'm like,
But do you know what is hard? Like, those feelings are actually real. Like, I can't.
Or the hatred.
Yeah, like if someone has like done something really awful in my dream, I'm like, but you would do that because I can tell.
That's so who you are. Okay, fine. All right, we've done this. Okay, let's do questions.
Okay. How often would you like? How often would you expect to increase the weight you lift in one exercise if hitting the area 2 times a week, every 2 weeks? Oh no, wait. If hitting the area 2 times a week? Every 2 weeks?
I usually find that after. This is really subjective and a really hard, if not impossible, question to answer. But based on experience with myself and with clients, I usually find that every kind of 4 to 8 weeks, people will find that they're increasing their strength and they can maybe increase their intensity, which is weight added. However, of course, you know, as you get stronger, just like fat loss, but in reverse, as you get stronger, there is going to come a point where you kind of hit your genetic ceiling of how heavy you can lift. And then it gets really hard to do and really impressive if you can keep increasing it. And this is when things like deload weeks or switching training zones can really help you. But yeah, there will come a point where you kind of hit your end goal. Emma?
Yeah. I think the more experienced you are, the harder it is. So you might see... I mean, even if you look at, like, the top end, if you had an Olympic athlete in the, I don't know, not powerlifting, that's not in the Olympics, in Olympic lifting, and they put on 5 kilograms to their snatch over a year, over 2 years, like, that would be amazing. But you could, like, I mean, if someone was just starting this, you might expect week on week for a couple of weeks, 5 kilogram increases. And it's probably more so because you're getting better at the movement, which the movement is a skill. You're also able to recruit the muscle that you already have. So it becomes a bit slower when your strength increases are correlated to increased muscle mass, because we know that takes a long time to build. But initially, you'll probably double your bench press within 2 weeks when you first start. That's not going to keep happening. But that's just because you're getting better at the movement and you're able to use the muscle that you already have. That will slow down. So as Chloe's saying, it's impossible for us to say, oh, you should be able to increase your weight every 2 weeks. There's absolutely no way you could say that. But for some people, you know, especially when you're starting, you might see big jumps and big increases in weight.
This is the thing. Like, there are other ways to like increase weight. I mean, so for example, my 1 rep max on my squat and my deadlift, both of them, is like 110 kg. And to be honest, I haven't tested it in like 2 years, so it might even be more now, I'm not entirely sure. But I remember when I would do like squats and deads, and I would usually be at like 60% of that in a hypertrophy range. So I'd be essentially doing like 60 kg-ish, let's just say, for like 3 to 4 sets of, you know, 10 to 12 reps or whatever. But now that hypertrophy range for me has hugely increased. I'm normally sitting at about, let me think, about 75% in that hypertrophy range, other than my warm up, obviously. So yeah, you can there you know, yeah. We don't really talk a lot. I was talking to one of the girls about one rep max today. She was saying, oh, I'm getting stronger and da da da. And I've seen some of the girls on the EC method doing like really heavy one rep max, like deadlifts, and I just wanted to know if I should be doing that too. And I was like, well, it's great fun, don't get me wrong, and it's also good to work backwards from, be like, okay, what can I lift in what ranges? But it's you know, strength training and powerlifting like that is not really, if you have an aesthetic goal or physique goal, it's not really going to get you there. It's just kind of maybe some good data to work from. So yeah, to anyone who's wondering kind of would we recommend that, or how to use that data to help you with your physique goals, I hope that kind of summarized it in a very roundabout way.
Yeah, I think for most people, unless you are competing in a powerlifting competition, doing like one rep maxes actually has a bigger like risk to injury than is worth the knowledge of knowing what you could one rep max. And also by kind of definition, because you're pushing yourself to your absolute max, your form tends to go a bit, which means that you are more likely to get injured. So yeah, if you are going to do it, make sure you do it properly. Make sure your form is good and you've warmed up properly, etc., etc. Okay, when I do squats, I can't see the rest of that. When I do squats, I look in the mirror this time and they don't really go down that low, not even 90 degrees with legs. What would tips be to go any lower? Should I be aiming to try and get to at least 90 degree angle when in a squat position? I'm more like 45 degrees. Wanted to check if this is still okay, as the lowest I can go with good form.
Okay, good question. So just like we were just talking about powerlifting and that kind of thing, it's not, despite what Instagram might have told you or some really dogmatic coaches might have told you, it is not imperative that you squat to depth. You know, unless you are a powerlifter, unless you're competing, you can still get huge kind of hypertrophy rewards from what we call partials, right? So don't be too stressed about it. However, that being said, obviously, we do want you to basically get as low as you can within your range of movement. So I would advise you to first and foremost, warm up properly. There is a stretching file in the file, so have a look at it. Warm up properly, stretch your quads, your hamstrings, your glutes, and really doing the squats unweighted and see how far you can go down without any weight with great form. And that really should be then what you aim for. Once you add the weight, try to get down to that range without it with good form. And that would be my advice. Emma?
Yeah, agreed. I think range of motion is important, but you don't want to overemphasize it. And actually, sometimes, you know, you wouldn't have a lift that's okayed in a powerlifting competition, but if you're just looking to improve your lower body strength and definition, then it doesn't hugely matter. But yeah, so I think that kind of covers that. And then the last question in this part, or for this person, kind of relates back to what we were saying at the start. So this one's more for curiosity. How is it that we can lift more when in a calorie deficit as we progress week on week, but can't build muscle in a calorie deficit? What's the science and how does it work? I thought if we could lift more, that means we're building more muscle. I'm sure I've got something wrong here. So there's quite a lot of nuances here. One, you can build muscle in a calorie deficit, especially if you're new to resistance training, and especially if you have a lot of body fat to lose. So I call this like the honeymoon period, where you can lose fat and build muscle at the same time. You've got very full fat cells that are quite insulin resistant, kind of pushing away energy. And you've got very newly sensitive muscle cells that are kind of really insulin sensitive, trying to draw in loads of energy. And that is a period of time where you can build muscle and lose fat. Now, as your fat cells become smaller, because you're losing fat, they become less sort of resistant to taking in more energy. And as your muscles become used to you working out, they become slightly less sensitive to the same stimulus. So that period only lasts for like a section of time, and then it becomes a little bit harder to do that, which is why Chloe and I have you in sort of strength building cycles. And we say that, you know, if you want to put on a serious amount of muscle mass, or at least a decent noticeable amount of muscle mass, you need to be in a surplus for a prolonged period of time. Now,
yeah,
where people, like, people just love to have like black and white answers, so they'll just take that and apply it to everyone. If you're someone who's pretty new to exercise, got a lot of body fat to lose, you don't need to like bracket yourself in this and think, oh well, I need to be in a surplus to build muscle. You've got a hell of a lot of energy there waiting to be used in your fat, so you don't mm-hmm. need to be in that calorie surplus. And if your training and nutrition is on point and your recovery is on point, you can absolutely, what we call body recompose or recomp,
yeah,
where are doing both at the same time. Will your progress, now as you get leaner, like you can still do that to some extent, but your progress will be so much slower. So if I tried yeah. to, I mean, I may be a bad example at the moment, but if like when I was a little bit heavier, if I tried to body recomp, it would be extremely, like it would be such a slow process to build muscle, because I'm not really fueling it well enough, which is why it's better when you are a little bit more experienced, when you are a little bit leaner, to focus on one goal for a period of time and then potentially diet down again if yeah. you wanted to. Do you have anything to add on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you absolutely nailed it. If you are new to training, if you have a lot of body fat, guys, don't forget body fat is stored calories. You can be in a calorie deficit via food intake, and because you're new to training, as Emma said, with the new training stimulus, and because you have higher body fat levels, which is calories, you absolutely can build muscle while you're eating in a calorie deficit, right? So that's absolutely true. Exactly as Emma said, if you are more experienced, it is much more unlikely, if not near on impossible, which is why we like you to have a good amount of muscle mass who are already very lean, or who have already been doing this for a long time, to work in cycles. We want you to spend periods of time, months, dedicated to gaining as much muscle as you can, and that is a full-on 24-hour dedication. And then we want you to spend a cycle, if you want, you know, in a fat loss phase, to shed and see if you've added any, and you know what your new body recomp, as Emma just said, looks like. So yes, I hope that explains the nuances.
Okay, I'm just trying to wait for the next question to load, because it's very slow.
That, just between you and I, on a professional level, I've realized the reason why my Excel isn't working is because I'm trying to open it on Safari, but when I open it on Chrome, it works perfectly and I can do whatever I want to it.
Oh, okay, well, I'll send you the questions after.
Questions after.
Yep, I'm down.
Oh, I think what happens is my computer's just like, there's a lot going on. Right, okay, here we go. Oh, no, wait. That was just a, thank you, I'm doing great. No, don't have a question. Well, that's always good to hear. Oh, something that came
I'll fill in
the- Yeah, I was going to say something that came up in the group that you could talk about while I'm trying to do this is protein timing. So someone was asking that, in the files it says make sure you get in some protein after a workout, but like how close to a workout does that need to be? And some people were saying 20 minutes, and like what's the down low with that?
So again, there's an answer and then there's a caveat to that, just like the squat question. In an ideal world, as soon as possible, because as soon as you're done with your workout, your body basically goes into recovery mode. And so we want you to get that protein in ASAP. However, that being said, it has been proven that the anabolic window is far longer than, you know, bodybuilders have thought it was, as in like hours, right? So look, we want you to get it in ASAP, but you know, if you can't eat for an hour after training for whatever reason, fine, don't panic about it. Just eat as soon as you can.
Yeah, agreed. In fact, I posted a little picture because it shows quite nicely like how long this quote-unquote anabolic window is. I think I put it in the group, so if anyone wants to see it, they can. But yeah, basically, that's a 48-hour time period. So that's 2 days that muscle protein synthesis rates are increased. Now, obviously, you can see that they increase and they... I mean, that's like 3 hours-ish after that they're sort of peaking, and then they do come down. But... it's not to, you know, it's not to say that if you miss the hour, then you've wasted your workout. Like, I always say, try and get in protein within an hour. There's also loads of other caveats to this. So if you really wanted to peak muscle protein synthesis from your exercise stimulus and your nutrition stimulus, you'd probably want to start eating your protein mid-workout to make sure that your amino acid levels were peaking at the same time as, like, optimal exercise-stimulated MPS as well, which is just impractical and completely unnecessary. But it kind of just shows, like, to the extent that people are like, oh, you need to get it in 20 minutes after. Not true at all. No. And where that research came from was in elderly men who have what we term anabolic resistance. So as you age, which is one of the reasons that as we age, we tend to lose muscle mass. And part of the reason for that is that testosterone levels drop, but you become a little bit resistant to anabolic signals. And that means that the period of time that you do have this increased muscle protein synthesis post-workout is shorter, which does mean that it's important to get some protein in within an hour to optimize that response. But for anyone, I would say under the age of about 60, and obviously, like, it doesn't just happen at 60, but I'm going to put it around that kind of ballpark figure, it's not really something that you need to worry about. Okay.
Fab answer, laden with scientific data of yore.
Okay. Are you ready for the next question?
Mm-hmm.
My week one waist measurement was 93 centimetres. Week two is 88 centimetres. Wow, that's brilliant. This week's measurement is 91 centimetres. My weight has stayed around the same. I'm tracking 1,700 calories on average a week. I'm doing three to four home workouts and hitting my steps 6 out of 7 days. I feel discouraged already. This tends to make me want to binge and throw in the towel before I get back on it. Why is it that it takes me a few good weeks before I see results after any plan I do, usually 6? Okay, well, fat loss takes time, hun. Like, that's just the fact of it. And I think we all need to start remembering this. Like, probably the biggest thing you will learn to do in life, in any aspect of life, is putting in effort now for a reward later. People call that delayed reward, right? That's so important to basically anything that is worth having. So, like, oh, I want to pass my exams. Okay, well, you're going to have to do the boring stuff now, which is the revision, so you can pass your exams in 6 months or whenever they are. Same with the fat loss. Like, you're going to have to do the boring, well, it's not even boring, but you're going to have to make sure you tick off your daily habits now. You will not see results from those habits tomorrow. You might feel results from those habits tomorrow. You might feel more energized and like you're moving in the right direction, and you might feel like you've accomplished something for the day. That's why we set you these daily tasks. But you won't see the results the next day. And it will take the accumulation of these results, of these habits, for you to see results.
Yeah, 100p, agree. Okay, so first and foremost, you've seen your waist measurement basically decrease and then increase incrementally. So there are two reasons as to why that could have happened. One, it could be hormonal, could be water retention. You know, that's as much as it will play with the scales, it will also play with any measurement of your midsection, including your waist. Two, you might not have been doing it in the same place every time. You might be measuring a different spot each time. So those are two things to bear in mind. However, you know, waist measurements do tend to be more reliable than scale weight for reasons that we've talked about a million times. However, you have to understand that this is a process, okay? So it's not just going to go like this. This is where you start and this is your dream physique. And for the whole 8 weeks or 12 weeks or 6 weeks, however long your plan is, you're just going to go boom, until you smoothly land at your dream physique. No, it's going to go like this. Up, down, up, down. Up, down, and up and down it's going to go. But overall, over time, whether it's 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 20 weeks, over time, we want you coming down. But it's never just going to be like a perfect pattern. You know, it's like And exactly what Emma said, you know, if you're saving for a holiday, just because you put in £100 this week doesn't mean you're going to have the £1,000 you need next week. It's going to take time. Like, you have to be patient. And I've had this too. You know, there was a girl on the group today and she was saying, this always happens and it's so hard for her. And this is when she throws in the towel, because you have to, guys, you have to get rid of this victim mentality about the results you want that you're not getting. It's going to take a while. You have to be patient, and you are the one who has to put in the work consistently for weeks and months, and maybe even for some people who have a lot to use, a full year of dieting. So, you know, come on, guys, strap in and sack up.
Cheers. One honey pea. I think that's my new favorite saying. Okay, I'm happy with my progress considering I haven't done much exercise due to COVID. I've smashed the nutrition, water, fruit and veg, managed to drop 1.7 kilograms in wow. 2 weeks. This week, I will focus on adding in steps. Brilliant. Sorry, that wasn't a question, but excellent.
Love that. Oh, another thing, guys, yesterday a girl was like, I've only lost 1.5 kg in 2 weeks. And I was like, no, that's an amazing amount of weight. It's not an only. If you've lost anything more than 2 pounds in the last 2 to 3 weeks, you're well on truly on track, and we are happy with that.
Yeah, and realistically, and not to discredit anyone that's lost a bit more, but if you have lost more, it's probably some water weight.
Yeah,
because it takes time to lose actual body fat and create that amount of deficit to lose that amount of fat. Like, if you're like, oh, I've lost, I don't know, there's people that have lost like 7-8 pounds, probably half of that is water weight, which is fine and inevitable and great, like great that you've lost the weight anyway, but realistically that is what it is. Okay, I'm thinking about increasing from 1500 calories as I'm insanely hungry and tired to the point I'm falling asleep in the afternoons. I'm lifting heavier, so I feel I need to eat more for fuel, but still want to lose. So, would it be best to increase cardio output as well as increase calories to keep up strength but maintain fat loss? Not really, no, because energy balance is a balance, right? So you're just like, oh, I'm gonna increase my calories, but now I'm gonna expend more. So you'd be in the same relative deficit. And if your deficit is what's causing you to feel really tired, then you'd be in exactly the same position. So no, you can increase your calories. Obviously, we don't have all of your information here, but it sounds like, yeah, maybe you do need some more calories. I would also look at other reasons you might be tired, like, is work particularly stressful? Are you sleeping enough? Are you recovering enough? Are you training too much? You know, remember that all this is a balance, so it's not just your calories. And I think we had one or two people in the first couple of days that like, oh, I'm so tired on this new, on these new calories. And that, it's not the calorie. After a few days, it's not the calories. It's much, much more likely that you're not getting in enough sleep or that there's another reason for you to be tired. And realistically, if you've got a decent amount of body fat to lose, you can survive. I mean, not that we're suggesting it, but you can survive on very low calories. And the energy is there. So that isn't what the immediate problem would be.
Yeah, 100%. We actually had a lot of this in the last round, weirdly, round three. People being like, I'm so tired. And we'd be like, okay, how many calories are you on? You know, what's your height, what's your weight? And it was like, there's no way in hell that on these calories with, I don't know, let's say 20 pounds of body fat to lose, that you're exhausted by the calorie deficit. In order for the calorie deficit to be really putting you in a lethargic hole, you have to be really, really lean and training really hard. And or now it might be, there is an adjustment period in the beginning for new clients where just increasing their activity levels obviously has a bit of a hit on their body. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm feeling quite tired. I'll go to the gym once or twice a week, and now I'm going 5 or 6 times a week, and I feel really tired. And normally I get in 2000 steps and now I'm getting in 12,000 steps. That can be an initial kind of catch up period where your body basically has to get fitter and healthier and stronger, quicker. And that can make you feel a bit lethargic. However, unless, you know, and that can last maybe a week or two max, and then your body will readjust. But yeah, look, unless you're on really killer calories and you're at really low body fat, it's really highly unlikely that this is the reason why you're tired. And Emma's right. It's much more likely to be something like sleep. You're not getting enough sleep. We really want you guys to aim for 8 hours. And I know that that is so difficult for so many of you, especially the shift workers and the mothers. And I do understand that and I sympathize. But really, every time you can, try and aim for that 8 hours. Really try, go for it. And yeah, like I say, if it is really a case of you've gone from being quite sedentary to quite active, give it a couple of weeks and your body will adapt, I promise you, and you won't feel like this for ages. If you're really lean and you feel like this, please can you send us some photos so we can look at you and reassess the situation? Because I know that when I get super, super, super lean before a photo shoot, like the 2 p.m. nap becomes a non-negotiable.
Yeah, and that's because there is a legitimate lack of energy. So that, yes. Yeah, but if you're someone who's still got a decent amount of body fat, stored energy to lose, it's a slightly different situation. There's quite a few questions here on roughly the same thing, so I'm just going to broadly answer it. If you can go to the gym, yes, go to the gym. Someone on the live as well has just asked, is it worth investing in an Olympic barbell for workouts at home, or would it be better if I just joined a gym? Honestly, I mean, it depends on your... Like, she says she's already got some home equipment. If you want to set up a full gym at home, like, great. But I would suggest going to an actual gym. The equipment's probably going to be better. It also gets you out of the house. And, I mean, I didn't know your routine. It could be that you're a mum and you only have 30 minutes in the morning. You just need to go into the garage and get it done. Fine. Then do a home workout. Absolutely. But if you have time to take a little bit of time out to go and do something for yourself in a gym environment, away from home, without those distractions, that would be optimal in my eyes.
And it stops it from being boring. And yeah, there is something to be said for, like, it does, my gym is like my haven. It's like good for me to go there and like and have my own time, and it will stop you from getting bored, because there'll come times where you'll just, where it might feel, especially if you're doing this for physique goals, it might get feeling quite oppressive. And it's quite fun to go in there and be like, well, actually I can swap, you know, the dumbbells for the cables and the squat rack for the leg press, and you can play around with it and challenge yourself in new ways that you can't do if you're using the same equipment at home day in, day out.
Agreed. Okay, thanks for the great pep talk, ladies. I keep reaching deep for motivation to keep going after all the weight didn't go on overnight, so I figure it's not going to come off overnight, is it? Rome wasn't built in a day. Very wise words, very wise words. Okay, hi, I'm 5'9" and 11 stone 11, and looking to lose about a stone. My activity is high, 5 workouts per week and an average of 18,000 to 20,000 steps a day.
Wow.
Oh, that is good. I've been eating 1,800 calories a day. I'm pretty happy with progress so far. I'm 5 pounds down with a consistent weight each day for some reason. But with the increase in protein, I'm feeling very satiated and struggling to get 1,800 calories some days. I'm worried that if my NEAT/steps decrease with the winter coming, that I'll struggle to lower my calories, or if/when I plateau. Should I increase my calories or make swaps to definitely hit 1,800 calories to ensure I have some room to decrease at some point? We did kind of basically cover this before, but... Like, again, plateaus are not inevitable. If you're in a deficit, you'll be in a deficit. There's no need to increase your calories to try and give yourself room to breathe when you're in a deficit, if that makes sense. Or to, like, preempt the fact that you're going to plateau, because you might not plateau. Now, you're right in saying that if your energy expenditure, so your steps, decreased, then your calorie deficit would be smaller. I don't think that's a problem at the moment, because I think you're probably in quite a big deficit. You already said that you're very satiated and you're struggling to even get to 1,800 calories. So if you did have to reduce your calories, I don't think that you would struggle with that. So I don't think you will have to reduce calories. But two, if you did, because your NEAT went down in the winter and we reduced you to 1,600 calories, I think you'd probably be sticking to that quite easily, given that you're almost struggling to stick to 1,800.
Yeah, remember what we said in the last live, guys. Don't preempt what might happen in 2 weeks or 2 months' time and try and fix it now. Like, this is how people get into, like, yo-yo, you know, patterns with their body. We will cross, I said this last time, we will cross every bridge as and when we come to it. If you're on 1800 calories and you're feeling satiated and you're feeling fueled and you're losing weight and your expenditure is really high, stay there. You're in a deficit that is working for you. It is the higher end of a deficit based on years and years of experience with clients. It's the higher end of a deficit. It's fantastic that your energy output is that high. It's fantastic that you're feeling satiated. Stay there. As and when you realize that for the last 1 or 2 weeks, your steps have been, you know, consistently coming down and decreasing and you can't see how they're going to get back up, then you tag Emma and I and we can reassess the situation. But it might be that you're in a big enough deficit that you still continue to lose and you don't need to touch calories at all. Or it might be that you start to lose a little bit slower. And again, it's kind of up to you. Do you really need it to go quicker? And in which case we can, but you don't have to. Or it might be that, yeah, you know what, you start to kind of level out a bit and we'll talk about it then. We don't preempt things because we need a history of data to work from when we have to make decisions. We don't predict things and then work backwards, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, a couple from the live. I hurt my shoulder on the weekend and struggling to do a lot of the leg/core because they involve holding weights. Do you have any other core/leg workouts I could add in? Was doing 4 gym workouts, 1 spin class, 1 run a week before the injury. So I'm gutted because I was on a roll and I had lost 6 pounds, but only 1 centimeter on the waist. Should I instead do more cardio for now and just do 2 gym workouts, getting a physio appointment sorted this week? I would suggest, yeah, I mean, don't overdo the gym, especially if it's still painful and if it's causing you pain. If it's a shoulder work, yeah, if it's a shoulder. So maybe I would just stick to lower body at the gym, and if you want to add in a little bit more cardio until you see the physio.
Yeah, I agree. All your body is connected to itself. So if you're finding that you're doing, obviously, if you're finding, otherwise my arm would be over there, my nose would be over there. If you're finding that you're doing, you're training an area of the body and it is niggling your niggle, then generally speaking, I mean, Emma and I would really just say stop training that area. If you go to a physio and they say, okay, we need to build up muscle around this area, they will give you very specific exercises. They might even come onto the gym floor with you if they're at the gym, and they'll show you how they want you to do it. But Emma and I are not physios, so we can't do that. Our job would be just to say avoid it altogether so you don't make it worse. And yeah, by all means, actually, this applies to a few of you. I've had this conversation with 2 of you in the last 2 days. By all means, if you've strained your back or you've hurt your shoulder and you have to take a bit of a step back from lifting temporarily, then by all means, you know, fill it in with an alternative activity that you love. It could be another spin class. It could be a Zumba. It could be whatever it is. But yeah, feel free to kind of swap out what you can't do with something that you can do until you have a better idea of where you stand physically.
Mm-hmm. We also have another question, which is again about an injury, about an Achilles injury, and I would just suggest to see your physio again. They're going to be able to do way more than what we can really just suggest. Very basic, don't do it if it hurts kind of thing. Any advice on keeping regular? I've been keeping up with the water, fruit and veg intake, but getting a little bit backed up.
Yeah, I mean, this can also happen at the beginning of a plan if you change your kind of nutrition significantly. To be honest, you know what really helps me go to the loo is when every time I take my fish oils, sometimes my magnesium, that can sometimes make me need to go, weirdly. And also things like caffeine. Caffeine's really, really good for you for many, many reasons. We don't want you to overdo it. But yes,
did you know that apparently the reason that coffee makes you go is that it makes your like sphincter like vibrate. It like pushes down the...
Yeah, well, I'll be drinking more coffee then.
But I agree, like sitting down and having a coffee and like taking your time, normally then you'll go. But you can't rush that. It's got to be like...
let James make you his coffee. That is a laxative in its strongest form. Every time we get halfway through breakfast and we look at each other and we're like, who's going? Who's going and who's waiting? No, honestly, like, and it's really good for you. Coffee, don't overdo it and don't drink it into the depths of the afternoon, but it is really good for you. And yeah, I think, you know, it might have something to do with your fiber intake increasing, you know, because of the plan, and your body will readapt. But those are my tips.
Yeah, she actually just commented again saying that she's also included a fiber cereal bar for breakfast to try and help. And actually what can be the problem is that it's too much fiber. So if you've gone from not eating that much fiber to smashing the veg, smashing the fruit and adding in more fibrous, like, other foods and a cereal bar and things, sometimes too much fiber can have the same problem of too little fiber. So yeah, that could be part of the problem as well. So kind of the middle ground would be best, like, don't overdo the fiber. I need to get out of the mindset of I'll do it tomorrow and do things today, not a question as such, just a kick up the bum. Yeah, I really like the saying, why put off until tomorrow what could be begun today? I repeat that to myself quite often. Yeah.
Wow, God, Emma. Emma's the most proactive person you'll ever meet. I was always like, I don't know anyone that works as hard as me till I met Emma. And I was like, holy shit. Just channel Emma. Channel your inner Emma. Not Beyonce, Emma.
Oh, dream team. Okay. How much close range should you stay on average calories from week to week? At the start, I struggled to hit the recommended 1800 as I was hitting about 1600. So aiming for that each day. But I found that average slowly creeping up week by week by about 20 to 50. I'm probably worrying about nothing.
Yeah, keeping 100 range, so between 16 and 1700, that can be your range. And then when you want to, you know, if we're talking about dropping you, we can come down in range again. You know, a few, you know, 10, 20 calories here or there is nothing. If you're talking about like 50, 100, 150, that is something. So yeah, just keep in that range nice and central, not too far either way.
Agreed. Will the accountability Christmas, someone used the word, focus on maintenance? I don't want to undo my achievements, but don't want to be too restrictive over Christmas. This will be completely dependent on you. So I think a lot of people will go into a maintenance phase. Some of you might be like, I want to keep dieting, because we've spoken about this before and we'll speak more about it later towards the time. But really, Christmas doesn't have to be a time where you like even need to go to maintenance. Like you could still diet the whole time and have like a couple of days off over Christmas and still have lost body fat over that period of time and not missed out on anything. So we'll talk more about that closer to the time. But as ever, like with the EC method, you come on and you have your own goals and we support you towards them. It's not about us pushing our goals on you and saying over Christmas, everyone needs to be on maintenance. Or, you know, some people might be like, I'm quite happy to gain a bit over Christmas, but I still want to do the workouts. I still want to stay accountable. I still want to be involved in the group. And, you know, like all the workouts will be different over the Christmas accountability as well. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll give you guys so many options if you're in fat loss, how you can manage Christmas and not be quote unquote restricted. And we'll give you guys options if you want to come up to maintenance, if you want to do like maybe a longer period of maintenance, there'll be options for diet breaks. We will give you all of your options. Do not worry.
Okay. How do I pick a physiotherapist? I mean, how do I know if they are good at what they do?
God, I mean, it's just like everything else. I tend to ask people who, you know, are kind of good at their jobs in my line of work, who they recommend. I always go on recommendations and I always go on word of mouth. I rarely will use anything else. So I would say ask somebody that you know who has had a similar problem or who you think knows a lot about it, like, or who would you recommend? And yeah, that would be my advice, Emma.
Yeah, I agree. And we speak about this because, I mean, a lot of similar online coaching programs put a hell of a lot of money into like ads and things, and we really want to grow from word of mouth because we want to support you guys so much that you're like, I love the EC method, everyone else should be doing it. And we have had amazing feedback like that, which is kind of what we want to keep doing. And I agree that I think word of mouth and someone else having got results or knows someone that specializes in the area of injury that you have. It's usually, like, whenever I see a physio, it's because someone else has said they've been good.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in the London area, tag me and I can give you a few recommendations. If you're not, probs not.
Yeah. Any chance of an EC method retreat? A few of us were chatting about it on a Facebook post. Barcelona, beach workouts, high-protein tapas.
Yeah, guys, obviously the answer to that is, I mean, it's Emma and I, we've looked into it. We were I was really in the middle of organizing it. And then I don't know what happened. I think the world changed ever so slightly.
I don't remember what happened.
I can't remember what it was, but something happened. And all, you know, all of our best laid plans got laid to rest.
We will be doing it. And actually, Claire, I haven't sent you this yet, but there's a place near Oxford which have messaged me, and it would be so good for a retreat. Like, obviously we want to go abroad hopefully next year, but this looks so good. It's got like an outdoor adults assault course.
Amazing. And it will be amazing, but really, guys, in an ideal world, we'd like to be able to sit inside with a group of you and talk you through, like, do nutrition talks with you, even maybe doing like lifting tutorials with you, obviously like workouts and then social stuff, like, you know, homegirl likes a glass of wine at the end of the day, so those of you who are of my type, you know, have a little drunken natter. But these are things that we want to do, you know, properly, and of course we can find ways around them now, but I don't know. I want to do it right. You know?
Oh, no. I don't think we should do it anytime soon. Because there's no point us all meeting up 2 meters apart and like all these ridiculous rules and some people can't come. And I think we wait and we do it right, which I am excited about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm a hugger. The last few months, it's been hard for me socially.
It's really weird meeting people and not hugging.
I love it how all old people are like, and I'm like, I hate.
My mum always does that. I'm like, okay.
They're like, if you're normal, I'm like, I will punch you in the face. Sit down.
Right. I get a really puffy stomach at the minute. When I start any exercise, I look about 5 months pregnant. It looks like teenage puppy fat. It goes after a few hours, but looks and feels awful during the workout. Any idea why I get this?
This used to happen to me, and I have no fucking idea why it happens. The only thing I can think is it's got something to do with water, food, I don't know, your body basically maybe trying to digest your last meal and not really being ready to train yet, or it might have something to do with water retention during a workout. I don't know, but it used to happen to me all the time, and it never happens anymore, so I really don't know what it actually is.
The only thing I can think that it might be is that you're swallowing air, and it's like, because that used to happen to me, and it would like get really puffy, not so much puffy but like hard, but obviously it would stick out because there's like air in there. So make sure that, like, I would focus on your breathing. But also, Chloe's probably right that, like, if you're eating really close to a workout or not eating really close to a workout, like, actually both of those things. Like, potentially if your stomach is completely empty, don't know, might have some weird effects. But also, why are you laughing at me now?
Just our answer is so all over the place. Not giving her any help at all.
Maybe could be this, could be that, might be nothing. Happened to me once and then it stopped. So I'm glad. Bye! Yeah, but you know what, though, it's okay to say that you don't know if you don't know, because we don't know. We tried.
I know. I love that about us. There's so many coaches out there that would never dream of saying those words.
I know. They'd make up some weird. Oh, you're probably gluten intolerant. hi, ladies. Have been on 1,200 calories for the last 2 weeks, as suggested by Chloe, as I was on under 1,000 for a long time previously, and sometimes if that. I have hit protein, calories, water, steps every day, but only managed 3 workouts a week. That's fine. That's what we ask for. In fact, I've been missing these out because they're kind of the same question, but that's come up a couple of times. A few people have been like, I've only managed 3 workouts. That's all we want you to do. Like, any more is great. If you want to do more, fantastic. Minimum 3. So if your question hasn't been answered and you've asked that, that's the answer. I have not moved weight or measurements or seen a change in pics. Shall I stay on 1,200 calories? Thank you. I'm 99% sure we spoke about this on a post yesterday and increased her calories to 1,400 already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We need to get you basically, like, you have to understand, if you've been crash dieting for a long period of time, metabolic adaptation is likely to have happened, and or, you know, we speak about this all the time, maybe you weren't as adherent and on the button as you thought you were. 1200 is still super duper duper low. Now, it's great that you're not gaining on it, but that you're staying pretty stable on it, but the fact is, we really want to bring you up so that your NEAT will increase without you even realizing it, your energy expenditure in the gym will increase without you even realizing it. We can maybe try and get you into kind of a better place, re-muscle mass, and you know, the truth of the matter is, while you may stay stable for a while, or you know, you might have a like higgledy piggledy weigh-ins, if you stay consistent and you let us guide you, you do what we tell you, eventually we're going to get you in a really nice spot where you're eating more and you're losing weight and you're training better and you're recovering better. But you just have to be patient, and that applies to all of you who've crash dieted. Do what we tell you, be patient as fuck, do not throw in the towel, and we will get you to that sweet spot. It just might take a while.
Yeah, I think that's so important, and I think it's something that you do so well, is increasing people's calories slowly so that they do actually adhere to them. I mean, we could just bump your calories up, but I kind of know your mindset and I kind of know you're not going to stick to that. So we're doing it slowly. It's a bit of a process. This is probably the most important process, not just for your body composition results and goals, but genuinely for your life. Like, it is ridiculously restrictive to stick to 1,000 calories. Not only were you almost definitely not being able to stick to that long term, it's not good for you physically, mentally. It makes you feel like you're failing all the time, because that's a ridiculous target to have. And you simply don't need to do it. And your quality of life, although this is going to be a process, although at some point you might think it's a bit of a head fuck for you and, oh, I don't know if I can eat this much, trust us, because this process is so worth it. And you will get to the other side, you'll be eating a decent amount of food, you'll be able to enjoy meals with your family, friends, meals out, you'll be training so much harder. And as Chloe's saying, like, you will have adapted down the way, now you have to adapt back up the way by increasing your expenditure. And it will happen, like, quite naturally, but it's not just going to be, oh, tomorrow we're going to put you on 1,500 calories and suddenly you'll start moving more. It will be, tomorrow we put you on 1,500 calories, after 2-3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, your energy expenditure will increase. Your body will realize there is energy here. She's not just like eating a load one day and then starving me the next day, or she's not just like trying to keep these calories really low. There's an abundance of energy here, and it's consistent, and I'm getting it all the time. That means I'm gonna expend more. Like, I'm not worried about me like taking in and storing as much energy as possible anymore. I'm quite happy to expend that energy. And that's where we want to get you to, but it does take a period of time to sort of readapt to that.
Yes, I love that answer.
All right, well, I think that is us for today. And then there's a lot of bad questions, which I've been skipping purposely, because we're going to do those on Friday, right?
Yes, send them to me. I will open them in Chrome. Woo-hoo. And I will go through them all. I've got them all.
And
great
guys,
questions. I already
look.
The question is happening. What? Oh, yeah. Look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Fab.
Okay. That should be available, in the next day or two.
In the next day or two.
I reckon you'd be a really hot, rude girl if you went, like, full, like, gel, like, hoodie,
gel.
Like, a bit aggressive. Gel. Yeah, like, you know,
what,
like, baby
hair. My hair back.
Yeah, like, mega hoops. I love a ghetto bitch. I bet you'd be a good ghetto bitch. Guys, I just wanted to say really quickly.
What, with my accent?
Yeah, but surely couldn't you just go like I hardcore?
Rude girl. What's up? Brap, brap. Yeah. No.
Brap. I just wanted to say, normally at this point in the plan, we're still kind of stuck on the same old questions, but I can already see, and I've noticed this on Facebook in the last 2 days, the questions are getting better and better and better, which means that you lot as a group are learning, and that's just, I mean, it means that you guys are well and truly on your way, and I'm very excited. I think we're going to have some very good results at the end of this round. I've got this feeling.
Oh, I've got the feeling too. Oh, right, okay, I'm finishing live. See you Friday.
Okay, bye.